When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo, Coney Live, the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Playoff pictures becoming clearer in both conferences, and a big injury for the NFC wild card in the NFC West, as well as Geno Smith goes down last night on Sunday Night Football, and the Green Bay Packers kind of coast to an easy win there. But that's unfortunate for them, because that was a team that at least was, you know, competitive every single week, and Geno has been really, really good with those two wide receivers, JSN and Metcalf, and Charbonnet has been going off for them. So that offense has been fun to watch. So I don't even know who their backup is, but if he misses time, then that team's going to be completely dead in the NFC. And one of those other NFC West teams that still got life will be coming here to face the New York Jets next week.
I'll tell you, the biggest winners.
The Rams.
The biggest winners yesterday were the Bucks and the Rams.
Bucks played great.
Yeah, the Rams.
One loss of the picks.
Rams win that ugly game on Thursday night. They sit around. They're waiting to see what happens. Seattle loses. The Rams take over the West Division lead now.
Yep.
And you have the Bucks at number three in the NFC by virtue of their victory over the Chargers yesterday. That was huge.
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
Baker Mayfield played his ass off.
Yeah, and this is one of those years where there's going to be several teams that win their division that don't have better records than the wild card teams, and it's going to be frustrating for those wild card teams.
Right, and over in the AFC, I mean, you know, both Indianapolis and Miami lost. That was terrible. I mean, the Bengals now are 6-8. You know, it's probably too late for them. They need a lot of things to happen. I was watching some of that game yesterday, and they listed all the things that would need to happen, and the Bengals have to win the rest of their games to get to 9-8. And then, you know, a couple things have to happen with the Broncos and Chargers, and of course still the Dolphins as well.
Yeah, and the Texans I'm not a big believer in. The Steelers I was starting to believe, but that game wasn't very close in my opinion at all between the Eagles and the Steelers in Philadelphia, and they're missing Pickens, and I don't know whether to believe in them or not, but probably not. So basically in the AFC right now, I mean, you narrow it down to the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, and the Baltimore Ravens. Those are the three teams.
Right. Did you see what Jonathan Taylor did yesterday?
Yeah, he dropped the football before the goal line again.
It's insane. Of all the guys, he's the one guy that would never, ever think would do something this stupid.
It just never makes any sense. Well, these guys do that.
And by the way, it's 13-7.
Yeah.
The Colts are going to take, essentially, if they kick the extra point, a 20-7 lead, and this is right in the third quarter. It's like right in the third quarter, and it is remarkable that he did that. Of all the players in the league, he would be the last guy in the world.
Derrick Henry would be the other one. Yeah. Derrick Henry might have done it, actually, now that I think about it. I mean, all you have to do is hold on to it for another millisecond.
How about just hold on to it until you get into the end zone? Hold on to the ball. Spike it if you want to spike it. Keep it if you want to keep it, or just give it to the end, or throw it in the stands.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It's just a lapse of judgment. He's obviously smarter than that. There was also a pick six in this game that was absolutely hilarious, because the the Colts were trying to do some, like, double reverse pass nonsense.
Yes, yes.
And the Broncos defender comes up, and here it is right here. Look at this. Ready? And whoop, see you later. It was just awesome to watch that. Guy was all over it, and that was that won the game for the Broncos, who were one of the surprise teams in the league this year at 9-5 with, oh, yeah, a rookie quarterback that wasn't a highly touted one. And you get a good coach in there, and you get a good defense, and anything can happen.
So I think the Broncos right now are exactly where the Jets are. The Broncos 2 years ago are right now where the Jets are right now. In other words, the Broncos had to go and get Sean Payton.
Yes,
they needed
right.
a personality. They needed to pay somebody. They needed to eat the bad contract for Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. They needed a total douching.
They did it.
And they did it the right way. And they got the right coach. Now, they may not win the Super Bowl. We understand that. But at least they got their franchise back on track.
Yep. And they brought in a guy who's highly respected and won a Super Bowl in the past. Was an offensive guy.
He also was controversial. He got suspended for a year.
Yep. True. I mean, that whole thing, though. I mean, we can rehash that. But, I mean, a lot of that stuff felt unfair at the time. But anyway, and then they go and get Bo Nix, who was clearly the fifth guy on everybody's board when it came to the quarterbacks, and this guy's out there and he's winning football games.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's exactly what, and this is why we keep saying it. There's some organizations and some moments in time where you got to go out and get the dude, and you can't just be rolling the dice again with another coordinator, but I'm sure the Jets will. Let's go to Rich, who's down in Florida. What's going on, Rich?
Yeah, I didn't realize that Boomer was going to replace Gio with Joe Meningo this morning. I mean, for God's sake, we're the hair's on fire because of the the Jet situation. I think we keep Aaron Rodgers, draft offensive linemen go after an offensive lineman in the draft and bolster that offensive line, and we roll with it again next year.
What makes you think that Aaron Rodgers at 41 is going to stay healthy next year?
He's coming off the Achilles injury. I don't think he's looked that bad this year. I think there's a lot of drops.
Why is coming off an Achilles injury like a positive thing? Because he did rupture his Achilles at 40 years old as the Jets quarterback, then came back and injured his hamstring, his knee, and his ankle this year, and then finally got healthy, plays a couple of good games, and everybody wants him back.
I think he played through those injuries fairly well. I mean, I'm saying that I saw
a
lot of
more than 200 yards in any of those games.
There was a lot of drop passes. Oh, I mean, I don't
a lot of drop passes. Stop it. I mean, I love the Aaron Rodgers like reasons for coming back. Oh, he's coming off an Achilles tear. Oh, okay. So let's throw him back out there. I see what other tendons he can.
The only reason I think he comes back, if he does come back, would be, like I said, a Sean Payton type, a John Gruden type, a Mike Vrabel type that can handle him and that will set the rest of the team on the right path. That's how I think you bring him back. You're not bringing him back if you're bringing in Aaron Glenn, if you're bringing in Bobby Slowick, if you're bringing in one of these other coordinator types. Especially a defensive coordinator type, because you got to have somebody that is going to be beholden to the offense, that is going to hold everybody on that team accountable. But I agree with the last caller. The last 2 weeks, man, that's the Aaron Rodgers. That's the full-on healthy Aaron Rodgers. That's not the hurt Aaron Rodgers.
Right, but he's been hurt 90% of the time that he's been here.
I understand that.
So, I mean, it's just because he's put together two games where he's looked healthy, and you still have that 90% of the time he's been here, he's been hurt. And then when you get a caller like, oh, man, it was a hair on fire type of thing today. If your hair's not on fire now at this point in Jets history, then just quit. Quit being a fan. They fired their GM. They fired their coach. It's the most embarrassing season, quite possibly, in their history relative to the expectations that they have had. And they still gave up 450 yards of offense and 10,000 first downs to Mac Jones and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, that's not Aaron Rodgers' fault.
I mean, but it's the team. And what I'm saying is, he's saying, well, with the Jets, it's like, the hair's on fire, Joe Beningo stuff. This season will go down in history as the biggest flop. This whole thing will go down as the biggest flop in New York sports
history, even more so than Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. And but you're supposed to be calm about it. You're supposed to be like, ah, there's nothing going on. And what makes you think that this owner who's got his hands up everybody's, you know what, every time they're trying to do their job is going to hire the right guys because he brought in some geniuses from outside the organization, just like he did last time with whoever produced McCadman and Bulls.
Charlie Casserly.
Yeah, Charlie Casserly.
And Ron Wolf.
McCadman and Bulls. Here's your guy. Remember that? Hell I remember yes, doing yes. that bit from yes. years ago. I got your guy. Here he is. Gravitas. He knows how to talk in front of the media. He can handle New York. Lots of personality. Todd Bowles. Chris in Levittown. What's up, Chris?
Good morning, boys. I think that you should definitely keep Rodgers for a few reasons. If you cut him, they're going to suffer from all that dead money. I don't know that there's a better solution that doesn't involve him. Obviously, we count on him not retiring to stick around. But I truly believe he's been injured since about that Denver Bronco game. He played some good games before that. You can see he's slowly coming along. Now, it's not just him. We need a new coaching staff. We need to get the defense fixed. I just think that in a calmer way, not in a Joe Beningo way, that is the most logical.
Microphone.
The biggest reason you need a new coaching staff is to figure out how to end games.
Well, yeah,
That was another thing yesterday. Now, I know Mark Schlereth was going off. I mean, I'm assuming that they would trust their kicker in a situation where they could just kick a field goal and walk off the field and win.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that guys want to score touchdowns. Do you think that Davante Adams was trying to score a touchdown or was not trying to score a touchdown right at the end? Because of what happened the week before.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. No, I think it probably had crossed his mind, but he did. I mean, he scored, you know.
Oh, no, right? He didn't.
Which one are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about the last touchdown.
The last one. Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the last touchdown and how you could make an argument because Mark Schlereth was making an argument.
Right.
Just taking two knees, having them use their timeouts.
Right.
And then up kicking a field goal with about 10 seconds left to go in the game.
That would have been it. Right.
That would have been it, but they didn't do that.
Right.
And I'm wondering whether or not on that long on the pass play to
Davante Adams
right here he goes down. It looks like he's trying to score, but I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know. Was he trying to score or no?
It's hard to say. I mean, I don't know if he was asked.
You got a minute. You got a minute and eight left. Yeah. Jacksonville's got two timeouts, and all you have to do is take a couple knees. They'll use both of those timeouts. And on third down, let the clock run all the way down, use your own timeout, and then kick a field goal and essentially win the game.
Yeah, well, they got to win, so good for them.
But, they did, but I'm just saying, again, mismanagement of clock.
Well, they don't have a coaching staff. I mean, they assembled some of the biggest dummies you could possibly assemble, with Nate Hackett being the leader there. So, and they
Wow.
I mean, they did.
I mean, but I've seen a number
of
situations completely mismanaged. Now, it's because of the way something turns out, you end up discussing it. And the fact that the Jets won the game, it didn't come back and bite them because Mac Jones throws the interception to Sauce Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
But if that is Patrick Mahomes on the other side, and you know, or Josh Allen on the other side, you better know your crap at the end of these games to make sure they don't get the ball back in their hands.
You're absolutely right. But, I mean, we're talking about a completely different level of football.
But we're also talking about a team that ran up 400 yards of offense.
Yeah, but they're not, you know, but these coaches are not going to be here. You know, Ulbrich and Downing and Hackett and whoever the hell else is just not going to be anywhere near this organization. So someone else will come in who hopefully has better clock management skills and has an idea what the hell they're doing. But I guess the crux of the thing that I, like the argument that the people who want Aaron Rodgers to come back, that they're using is the same argument that I'm using for him not to come back, and it's not computing with people. Like if a guy who is 25 years old, 26 years old, you say, hey, he's finally healthy and he's playing great, we got to give him another chance. You're like, okay, you know, maybe he had some bad luck along the way, doesn't have a history injury, whatever it may be. We're talking about a guy who's 41 years old, who popped his Achilles last year and had a whole host of injuries this year, and then got healthy now for a couple of games, who's going to get his ass kicked again next year. I just, I don't know why anybody thinks that because he got healthy towards the end of the year and has looked better, that that's going to somehow continue.
You know,
I mean, that's taking a big leap of faith.
I will say this. When Sean Payton took over the Broncos that first year, who was his quarterback?
Russell Wilson.
Right. So that's a reason why. So they bring in Sean Payton to put the hammer down. And, you know, none of this, you don't have an office in the building anymore. You don't have your own private parking spot. You don't have all these things that, you know, Juan Soto is going to get for the Mets. You're not getting that crap.
Yeah.
You're a part of a team. We're paying you a lot of money, and I expect you to play quarterback for me, and this is how it's going to go. That's the type of relationship that I'm talking about if, in fact, the Jets are able to bring Aaron Rodgers back. Yeah. It's not going to be some sort of coordinator type.
But that's who the Jets will hire. Yeah, I know what you mean, and I'm totally with you with all of that. And if Gruden came in and said, I want Aaron Rodgers for a year, and I think we could rebuild this defense to look like a semblance of a defense again, and we've got all this talent on offense, just give it that to me for a year, I say, sure, okay, go and see what you could do, right. And maybe you give the Jets fans a couple of good moments. You still won't be able to compete with the best in the AFC, but, you know, maybe you have a winning season. Maybe. Or 8-9, it just looks a lot better than it has the last couple of years, but the Jets, they don't, like, Woody's not doing that. He's just not. He's going to go down the same road with guys who come here and just get swallowed up. And
well, let's see who they end up hiring, and let's see who the available quarterbacks will be for the Jets, because they'll be outside, you know, they'll be inside. Maybe they're inside the top 10 when it comes to the drafting. And there will be some free agent quarterbacks available, and we'll see who the head coach is and who you tell me who his quarterback's going to be, and I'll tell you how many games are going to win next year. All right?
Yeah. All I need to know is...
They'll be right back at the top of draft next year.
Yeah. I mean, they're like... I feel bad whoever it's going to be, like whoever takes their first head coaching job here with the Jets. Like, I just feel bad for that guy. Because it's just going to be the same thing. Just going to come here and just be completely punched right in the face by the history of the organization. No one is safe in that regard. Nobody. It's just like going into a black hole. You're not coming out. You're just not. It's going to suck you in there, and you're never going to see you again. Sorry.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is back. He's got football for us. Lots of sound. What's going on, Jerry?
And we are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And we're brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Since the Jets won, we start with them as they did win down in Jacksonville.
Breece Hall, the lone setback. 1:08 to go. Jacksonville has two timeouts left. Will the Jets go into the end zone? Hand off Breece Hall up the middle, easily into the end zone for the Jets touchdown. Jacksonville absolutely let the Jets score. 1:05 to go, and the Jets took the touchdown.
And that was Bob Wischusen, Q1043 Jets Radio, 32-25. The Jets get the pick the other way. Ball game over. Jets get a win.
Knowing that, I would just say about all of this at the end of this game, it's like nobody had any. I don't know. I just heard Devontae Adams post game. He wasn't sure what to do.
Yeah, he wasn't. He goes, I still don't know what I was trying to do.
Exactly. And obviously the way Aaron reacts after he hands the ball to Breece Hall and they score is like, all right, we scored. You know? And I understand all that, but it's almost, I wonder if they even had a discussion about the other alternative. And maybe it was because it was Mac Jones playing quarterback. I don't know.
But they were going up and down the field all game.
I know. So the other alternative is to take, you know, to take the three knees and kick a field goal and call it a game and let's go.
Better make sure you make the field goal. There was a kicker that missed a 21-yarder yesterday.
Yeah, I know that. And I don't know how comfortable they are with their own kicker. But at the end of the day, that's part of how you win games is like managing at the end of it. And I don't know. It just seemed like nobody really discussed any of it.
Well, you got a coach who's not really a head coach, unfortunately.
But
you got two Hall of Fame players out there that should at least be talking and having a little more awareness.
Devontae Adams told me after the game, what I love about Devontae, he's really honest with his take on things.
Mm-hmm.
But if he would have told me after the game that I came up short because, you know, I wanted them to use their timeouts and I wanted to kick a field goal, you know, then I would have certainly respected that. That's what I would have expected because that's what it looked like.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. These games are so insignificant at this point. Like, what happens at the ends of them, I only have so much time for in my brain before I have to squeeze some other meaningless information in there. So, like, I'm done with it. I have a nice, happy flight home.
Well, that's what Aaron Rodgers said, as a matter of fact. That's right.
Awesome.
All right, so we'll move on from that. The Jets play the Rams on Sunday at 1. The Ravens are very relevant. They played the Giants, and, well, they did exactly what we kind of thought they would do to them.
Second and 11 from midfield. Jackson rolls to his right, looking downfield, lobs it. Wide open is Bateman at the 10. Jukes at the 5. Jukes again, and he goes in for the touchdown. As he juked Pinnock and Stroman. And it's a 49-yard touchdown pass.
It's amazing. It's like a little flick of the wrist, and everything's 45 yards downfield.
Derrick Henry was a non-factor in this football game. They just threw it 10 million times. It was just crazy. Well, I mean, this was a Lamar Jackson show, and he's put on a lot of them lately.
Here was Brian Daboll. They had the plane flying overhead, of course, that said, fire everyone. He said, can't really be concerned about it, obviously.
Just control what we can control. Get ready to play a game this week.
Do you think it's a distraction?
No, I didn't know about it until you told me right now. So control what we can control. Get ready to go ahead and have a good week. And whoever's available, get him ready to play.
You believe that? Had no idea. I guess it's possible.
No, I don't believe it. I'm sure he's
aware. Do believe it. But he is aware of what's going on, and he's aware of the chatter and the discussion. Yeah, how could you not be aware?
Tim
Your
Boyle.
Family's aware, I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a tough time for them.
Yes. Tim Boyle played the second half. He went 12 of 24, 123 yards, a touchdown and a pick. That's because Tommy DeVito left. Concussion protocol, which only happened. He was going to go back in the game. Daboll said he went to talk to him about a play before going back in and noticed his eyes did not look right. So he got him checked out. So here was Boyle on his game coming in.
What you saw today was my first time playing with those guys. So definitely a cool learning experience. But, you know, feeling speed and the O-line, I think they really did a good job at it.
Yeah,
well, I feel bad for that kid.
Which one? Tommy?
For Boyle.
Oh.
I mean, he went through this with the Jets last year, and now he's got to go through it with the Giants this year.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, man, he probably shouldn't even be in the league, and he went out there and put some decent stuff on tape for him to stay in the league. So I think that was a great opportunity for him yesterday. It was funny, like, the way that he was throwing the ball, it was a miracle that someone caught it on the other end, you know? It was like you just see him just like, burp, and like, oh, no! Then bang, Malik Nabers caught it.
Hey, just
like,
let
wow.
him rip, man. Have some fun. That's what it seems like he's doing.
Nabers had 10 catches, 82 yards, and the late touchdown. He was talking about 1,000 yards last week, so he's at 90 catches, 901 yards, and 4 touchdowns on the season. With
what is Odell's record in terms of receptions? He's like right there, right?
Right there.
You don't know, and I don't know the actual number. They were talking
about
it.
I think he's right there, actually.
He's right there. Yeah. All right, here's the play in the Bills game. I think you guys were talking about earlier. Bills beat the Lions 48-42.
Seems a little early, Tony, but here we go. 12 minutes to go. Onside kick. Ball bounces around. It's picked up by Hollins, and he's running with it. Hollins tackled down at the 5-yard line.
And that, of course, Jim Nance on CBS. Dan Campbell asked post-game what his thinking was by trying that in that spot. The audio is not great, but the best I could to make it loud enough.
I thought we'd get the possession, you know. I thought we were going to get that ball. And one of Bates' best kicks that I've seen him have. That was a big kicker at the end. You know, I think took a good jump on us, and Hollis made a heck of a play on it. And, you know, obviously now sitting here hindsight after been taking it down to the 3-yard line, yeah, I wish I wouldn't have done that.
But they did. In terms of the bad defense, the way these teams are getting up and down the field on them, are all these injuries finally starting to take its toll?
No, I'm not buying it. I'm not. I don't buy it. You know, we can be better. We should have been better. We know how good they are, but that team was more urgent than us today overall. Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen, 362, 2 touchdowns in the air, 68 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns on the ground. The Bills 11-3, the Lions 12-2. And oh, by the way, Jared Goff, 494, 5 touchdowns in defeat. The Eagles beat the Steelers 27-13. Jalen Hurts threw for 290 and 2 touchdowns. One went to A.J. Brown. He also ran for 45 yards in the score. Here was Hurts getting it done.
You know, as we've said before, you know, this, you know, multiple ways to win. And that was kind of where we leaned today. We were able to find ways to make plays and execute and finish in the end zone and find a way to win. It's a good complimentary football.
Eagles now 12-2. The Steelers could do nothing offensively. Russell Wilson just 14 of 22, 128 and a touchdown. He says too many self-inflicted wounds.
I mean, we had too many penalties, you know, throughout the game, big ones. You know, obviously we had that drive in the red zone. You know, both teams are kind of getting after. They called on us. We get backed out, you know, unfortunately. You know, that could have been a touchdown drive for us.
With the loss of the Steelers 10-4, pretty cool post-game where Hurts goes up to Russell Wilson and says, was a big fan of him growing up. It's got to make you feel so old, but yes.
Yeah, guys got a lot in common, though.
they, yeah, I suppose so, yes. The honeymoon's over.
Mm-hmm.
The honeymoon for Mike McDaniel is over with the Dolphin fans. They lost to the Texans 20-12. He is getting hammered all over social media for his record against good teams, which is terrible. And then you got Brian Flores doing what he's doing in Minnesota. So I present to you Dave Portnoy on Barstool yesterday. He's one of the many that is not happy with Mike McDaniel and the decision the Dolphins made.
This team sucks. They stink. And meanwhile, Brian Flores out in Minnesota turning that defense around. They're 11-2. Miami fans, you get what you deserve. You're all singing this nerd's praises in this all marshmallow and sitting around the campfire attitude. You can't win that way.
Oh, well, and they're not. They're 6-8.
You know what that sounds like?
What's that?
Sounds like a guy who lost a big bet on the Dolphins.
Could be.
That he is got very pissed off and then ended up going, he can't care about the Miami Dolphins that
That's
much.
That's probably very true. You might be right about that. Now, there was also a moment in this game, Grant Dubose was put on a spine board where his arms and legs were strapped down, taken off the field. They had a tube. Now, reports are it's a head injury, they said, and he's in stable condition
in
the hospital.
Because it didn't,
not,
so they, so I'm
not 100% sure of that.
I watched the whole thing and have, so first of all, the scariest part of this was when the doctor first went out there, he went and checked his pulse because that's, he must have been clear out at that point. So then they had him completely strapped down, like completely, they took his uniform off, they cut his helmet off and then completely strapped down. So it was
scary.
One of the scarier ones. So, yeah.
Well, they have, you know, the Damar Hamlin situation. You know, now all of a sudden everybody goes through training just in case something like that happens again. I'm not saying that's exactly what happened, but when you go out there and the guy is unresponsive, you got to find out whether or not his heart is pumping.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, so that was a hopefully get a good update with him in the coming days.
Yeah. Like I said, they said stable condition in the hospital. So that's all.
He spent the night in Houston for sure.
Yes, I would certainly think so. So after the game, CJ Stroud on CBS, very classy of him, is that's the first thing he would reference after being asked about football.
I have to start with your defense. Three massive interceptions in key moments, three sacks, a couple of fumble recoveries. How imperative was that unit in this win today?
Yeah, first I just want to send prayers to Grant. You know, that was a tough situation right there. You know, just hoping that he's okay. You know, praying for his recovery and he can get on the back on the field. But, you know, glory, all the glory goes to Jesus Christ. And our defense did amazing.
So there you go. So very good out of Stroud. Also of note, Sunday Night Football, Packers beat the Seahawks 30-13. Jordan Love, two touchdown passes. Here was Mike McDonald asked about the Geno Smith injury.
Do you expect him to miss more time, Mike?
I don't know. I mean, it's, we got to get the test done, and I know we'll do everything humanly possible to go play, but just don't know right now.
So you can't, just to clarify, if it's a sprain or whatever, or you just
don't know.
Do not know. So that certainly could derail their season. They're now 8-6. The Packers up to 10-4. Bears Vikings tonight. Chicago lousy. The Vikings are 11-2, and you've also got the Falcons and the Raiders tonight. And yes, if you're a Giant fan, you are rooting for the Raiders to beat the Falcons this evening. NBA, a little Sunday evening game for the Knicks and the Magic in Orlando.
Knicks up 11. Here's Brunson against Suggs. Takes Suggs down low and does a nice job finishing there with the left hand.
And that was Bill Pito on MSG. Jalen Brunson, two of his 31 in a 100-91 win over the Magic. Karl Anthony Towns, a monster night, 22 points, 22 rebounds. Tom Thibodeau, pretty solid second half.
We adjusted. We had some fouls early that sort of changed the tone of the game a little bit for us, but I thought we responded well after that.
Yeah, and they get to 16-10 on the season with the win, 17 for Mikal Bridges.
I saw this headline, and I shouldn't be judging by a headline, but it was New York Post Plus Sports, so okay. I couldn't read the column, but it was from Stephon Bondy, where it was after the Atlanta loss, and it was something along the lines of Knicks need to quickly regroup as their thoughts of being a title contender or slipping away. I'm like,
from who?
What? Like, what? I didn't. So, but then I'm a victim of a headline here, and it's probably they want you to click on it and buy the thing and everything else. But I was like, that actually made me annoyed.
Hmm.
But not enough to go pay the 65
cents. I don't think the Knicks believe that. That's probably, I would think, maybe his thought.
It may be, but yeah, I was like, this is just such a long way to go, and they've been playing really well, and the offense is the best we've ever seen.
That headline belongs to the Rangers right now.
Well, dude.
That's, you know, that's the thing. Like, I have never seen a team just completely come apart like this.
Churchill
too far for Lafreniere. That's it. It's over. And the Blues hold on to beat the Rangers 3-2.
That's the great Sam Rosen on MSG. By the way, he can't go out like this.
Yeah, shove it, Boomer.
By the way, that's exactly right. They can't go out like this. You know, no Panarin last night. Capo Caco was scratched. And Chris Kreider on the fourth line. I mean, they're trying everything. They're trying to do everything they possibly can to get this thing going again. And, you know, at least last night they fought. I guess you could say they fought, but they still lost. And they're in the midst of something like I never expected from this group, especially after the last couple of years. I just never would have expected it.
And the Islanders lost to the Blackhawks 5-3 tie game with about a minute to go. Chicago scored, then scored on the empty net.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So over the weekend, Travis Hunter of Colorado wins the Heisman, a man who can do just about anything on a football field. You can probably play him anywhere if you drafted him other than offensive and defensive line, any skill position the guy could play. Just a remarkable talent and seemingly a really, really good kid. But so some of the stuff that came out of the last couple of weeks with him, though, is about his girlfriend and how everybody wants him to dump his girlfriend. Now, this is why. There's video evidence of this, and I'm not just the one who bringing this up and getting into his business. This has been everywhere. So the first particular thing was there was a clip of when they were talking about when they met, and she's like, he wasn't even my type. I didn't like him at all. He was just so relentless in my DMs I decided to give him a chance. So that started there. It was just like, all right, interesting. Then at the end of their last game where they won big and it essentially clinched him to Heisman because he was so good, there's this video of him going to get her out of the stands to come down and celebrate with him. And the second, and anybody who's ever had a girlfriend or a wife, you know what you're watching. The second that she comes out of the stand, she's you know, going after him about something. Like, in his face, complaining to him about something, like, immediately. And he's like, huh? The second she comes out of the stands. All right. Then, fast forward to when he wins the Heisman. So he wins the Heisman. Shador and Dion are sitting next to her. They stand up, give a standing ovation. She's sitting down in her chair for so long that Dion goes over to her and goes, hey, stand up. And she's like, oh, okay. So she just stands up finally.
Well, she's pissed off at him for something.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but there could be something that he did, I guess, but it's just all of this. And then the worst one was this. So after he wins the Heisman, this is the one that started all of this. So he's doing some sponsor thing, and he's taking pictures with other celebrities and other sponsors and fans, and he's up there smiling doing this event. He just won the Heisman, like, either the day before or that night or whatever it was. And she's on the couch, and you could hear her audibly say, so I'm just supposed to sit here all night? That's what she says to him.
Oh, wow.
He just won the Heisman!
That's not good. That is not
so
good.
So either he did something that pissed her off so much, but she decided to stay with him and make his life miserable, or this woman is the worst person to ever roam the planet. It's one of the two. But, I mean, it is. She is getting crushed out there by people because everybody's trying to celebrate Travis Hunter in this wonderful season that he's having, and seemingly she's around trying to ruin it around every corner.
I'll tell you who's not celebrating it is Ashton Jeanty.
Well, yes.
Running back out of Boise State because, man.
Do you have a Heisman vote still?
I don't.
Okay.
Did you
ever have one?
I did at one point.
Okay. Yeah.
But I would tell you that, wow. I mean, Ashton Jeanty had an unbelievable game, and he can break Barry Sanders' record with their first playoff game.
That's right, running back out of Boise State.
That's right, and he had a tremendous, tremendous season. I mean, I understand Travis plays both ways, so it's hard to argue with him winning, but it was a very close vote, by the way.
Yeah, and you know, it was a close vote, and what I want to see now that all this stuff is out there between the two, does he start seeing that, and that's getting in his head now, and he's like, man, maybe she is ruining everything I'm trying to do here. I don't know. I can't be having this negativity in my life. And all of a sudden, he gives her the whole Heisman pose. Gah!
I will say this, you know, Dion basically became a, you know, mentor to Travis, and he had Travis go with him to his first school.
Yeah.
And then transfer to Colorado. And I bet you Deion said, don't worry, I'll get you the Heisman. You'll get the Heisman.
Yeah.
And eventually it paid off, and the young man got the Heisman.
So how about Deion? How about Deion, though, like, looking over and going like, hey, can you stand up for your boyfriend?
Can you stand up? For God's sakes. What the hell? Yeah, well.
That might be the worst one yet. She's just sitting there. He won the Heisman. That's your boyfriend. Stand up. Give him a hug. For God's sakes.
Anyway, so that was interesting to watch over the weekend. All right, let's go to our buddy Hirsch in Valley Stream. I haven't heard from him in a long time. What's going on, Hirsch?
What's up, boys? How are you?
All righty, Hirsch. What's happening?
Listen, I'm busy in the morning. I don't have time to call you guys, honestly. I'm driving Max to school, doing stuff. But sometimes I just listen and my blood boils. And there's two things going on in New York football right now that are just like, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. Number one, the concept that we're going to bring back Shane and Dable, 9 losses in a row, potentially the NFL Defensive Player of the Year and Offensive Player of the Year, McKinney and Barkley let walk. We're going to bring these two idiots back, which is unbelievable. The concept that you bring Shane and Dable back is mind-boggling. And the idea that Boomer's talking about wanting to bring back Rodgers, like, the stink of this team has to be gone. Wipe them clean. I don't want to see Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to hear about him. I don't want to hear a press conference. Just gone. Get these guys gone. We need to start over again, both football teams. And I know it stinks, but we have to do it because there's just the stink on both of them is so rotten. Wipe them clean. I don't know how, Boomer, I don't know how you don't see that. With Rodgers and anyone who's defending bringing back Shane and Dable have to be out of their gourd at this point.
Yeah, you know what, Hirsch, as far as the Shane and Dable stuff goes, I at this point, I don't think that there are candidates that fit John Mara's mold that he is going to pick over those guys. Now, if I thought there were, or those guys will pick the Giants as well, if I thought there were, I'd say, without a doubt, they're gone. But I'm looking at the landscape. And Bill Belichick was one of those guys that I thought he would pick over Shane and Dable. He is now off the table. Ben Johnson is one of those guys that John Mara would pick. But I don't think that Ben Johnson's going to look at the Giants situation and want to take that over the Chicago Bears situation where he has been rumored to go to. And if you're bringing in a guy like, you know, Bobby Slowick, and by the way, that offense looks nothing like it did last year in Houston this year. I mean, a guy who does, I don't know, does Slowick have ties to New York? Does he have ties to the Giants? Not that I know of. You know, maybe you want to tell me Mike Vrabel. Yeah, I'd be willing to listen to that for sure because he fits that profile I've been talking about. A guy who has done it. I thought he was unfairly fired when he was, and he's got that alpha personality. That would be a guy I would listen to for both teams. But I really think Mara's looking around and going, hey. Who else am I going to bring in here? And I've been doing this, firing these guys every 3 years, and I'm in the same situation again.
Yeah, and I also think guys like Hirsch are misunderstanding what I'm saying. I'm saying the way that Aaron Rodgers, people are asking me, can Aaron Rodgers be back here next year? And I'm saying, yes, he could be, depending on who the coach is that they hire. I don't know how many times I have to say it. They're not going to bring him. They're not going to put him with Aaron Glenn. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
They're not going to put him with, you know, give me another defensive.
Brian Flores.
Then that could be a little bit different.
You think?
Because Brian Flores is going to want to win. And he knows in order to win, you need to have the quarterback. And unless I know the alternative to what the Jets are doing, if you bring in a proven head coach that has the personality and the temperament that you're looking for as the Jet head coach, he is going to want to win his first year. He's not going to want to go out there with a stopgap quarterback or a rookie quarterback that is most likely going to be drafted outside the top 10.
Yeah.
So I'm just telling you, the way that I could see Aaron staying here is if it is a coach like that, because that coach is going to want to win.
Let's go to Gil in Union. What's going on, Gil?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Love your show, man. I think this team, well, I don't think I know, is dysfunctional from the top down. I mean, every other NFL team yesterday takes 3 knees or 2 knees, depending on whether they want to kick this thing on 3rd or 4th down, and they walk away. We decided to put that on the defense that sucks this year. But okay, we snuck away with a win. As far as Rodgers is concerned, I'm indifferent on whether he comes back or not. It's still a losing franchise. That's not going to change anytime soon. As far as his timing, I think it's why he's better now. It's because of the timing. And if this guy hadn't picked a camel over his teammates, he might have more wins this year. And last but not least, our Messiah has not hit New York yet, or New Jersey, because they play in New Jersey. Gesundheit. We'll trade Jordan Love in about 12 years, and he'll give us our Super Bowl. Love you guys. Take care.
Gesundheit.
Yeah, Gutenkutz is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a lot there, right? He had a lot to say.
He did have a lot to say. And I was just hoping he would make the OTA joke that I was promised. Took him a while to get there.
Yeah, so, I mean, he missed actually minicamp, not OTAs.
It was mandatory minicamp. That's right. He was at OTAs.
He was all, at every single OTA.
Got his timing down.
Right. And it was, I don't know if it was an excused absence. That was a minefield that Rob Saleh stepped into.
Oh, yeah, of course. It was like just seeing the pothole and then just driving into it and then getting your flat tire and it's all your fault.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.